Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Laura Stiles here. Check out season 2 of Summer Jam Through the Years, available on all podcast platforms. Get the behind-the-scenes stories from hip-hop's biggest concert. Listen to hip-hop history on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Represent the hood.
Summer Jam, it's such a moment, it's such a big stage. Summer Jam is just one of those staples in hip-hop.
Hot 97 Summer Jam.
To be somebody, you gotta be on the Hot 97 Summer Jam stage.
Hot 97 Summer Jam, one of the most overwhelming experiences of my life.
Summer Jam means so much to me. Always going to see all our favorite artists.
Everybody on that big Summer Jam stage.
You never know what you might see at Summer Jam.
Ebro in the morning, Laura Stiles, Rosenberg. Give it up for our friend Carmen Perez, Jay Jordan. Carmen Perez Jordan and her husband, Jay Jordan.
There you That's go. Right.
Do you like to hyphenate it?
I do hyphenate it, and then I do go solo for my dad.
Right. Got it. Jay Jordan, well, you were on the show. We were just talking 5 years ago. And we're going to, obviously, Carmen was just on the program. We were talking about Harry Belafonte and all the stuff that you're doing with Gathering for Justice and all those things. But me and your husband and Nipsey Hussle, who else was at that show?
It was my son, Ty Dolla $ign, Guapale, Yessi Ortiz, DJ Cassidy.
DJ Charisma.
Yeah. It was a packed cast.
And it was called the Time Done Concert. I don't know if you guys remember, but what was the whole Time Done initiative about?
Yeah, so I came up here 5 years ago, and I was telling y'all about this problem in America that no one really talks about, right? So we talk about the justice system, we talk about what it does, but we never really talk about the people who are impacted. So the last 40 years, America has given 70 to 100 million people records. 70 to 100 million people. 9 out of 10 already served their time. So these are folks who are done over the age of 30 and have been out an average of 5 years. So they're not committing crimes. But they face these things called collateral consequences. These are like economic, social, and civic sanctions that kick on after you serve your sentence. So these aren't like prison, jail, probation, parole, fines, and fees. These are like, oh, you can't find a job, you can't find a house, you're restricted from coaching your son's little league team or ever adopting. Those are actual laws on the books, 40,000 of them, right? And they last forever. They last forever. So people There's no sunset. So what we were saying in California was, what if we have a sunset? And we called it the sunset policy. Well, we tried to write a law. I learned how to write laws. I didn't know how to write laws at all, but I learned how to write laws and said, hey, what if we write a law that makes criminal records like credit, right? You break the law, you serve your time, you pay your fines, you remain crime-free, your record goes away like credit or is sealed after a certain amount of time. The state of California said, hell nah. Right? They told us it'd cost upwards of $500 million. We found out that the system...
What do you mean cost? Why would it cost money to pass a law?
Because the implementation of the law. So in order for me to get my record expunged, I have to go to court, right? That costs the court money. They have to process it in their systems. The systems cost money. The technicians cost money. Everything costs money. They said it would cost $500 million and above every single year to do this. And we're like, what? So we learned about the systems that govern California, these things called record repositories. And we learned a lot, right? I remember they told
us... What's a record repository? I don't know.
Yeah.
So if you have a criminal record, they live within four things. So a criminal record is just a line of data. It's like healthcare data, right?
Okay.
Or like a divorce record. It lives in four different repositories. The police have a data repository called the Law Enforcement Telecommunication System. This happened after 9/11. So the little computers in the car, they have access to everything. And it never goes away. So if you've ever been arrested or pulled over by the cops, they run your name, they see it all. When they pulled up and they pulled up George Floyd, the first thing they saw was George Floyd's mugshot, even before they got there, right? That's the first repository. The second repository is the courts. This is open source data, right? You can go to the New York Supreme Court or the New York Superior Court and buy somebody's criminal record. And everyone has access to it. And these companies...
But now you can buy it if it's not sealed. Can you buy it if it's sealed?
It depends. There's not a record sealing process that seals records in America like you think they do, right? And this is what we found out, right? So the courts are selling this data. So they're selling people's data to these companies.
Damn, they're worse
called
than Google.
Background check companies, right? So
consumers, so when you Google on them background check companies, those companies are getting information from the courts and paying the courts or the justice system, if you will, to get your data. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a billion-dollar industry. Billions of dollars. Like, and it happened after 9/11. This industry just exploded, the background check company industry. Exploded, right? Mm-hmm. That's the second repository. The third repository is the state DOJ or the state police. This is where you give your fingerprints. You ever go for a job and they say, we need your fingerprints? They're accessing the state database. This is just a repository that shows everything. So if you get a pardon, it shows vehicle theft, and it shows you got a pardon. So if you're an employer and you're seeing somebody's rap sheet, you're seeing they stole a car, but they got a pardon too. Doesn't make any sense, right?
Because you got pardoned, so why are you still showing that I stole a car?
Exactly.
If I didn't get convicted of a crime.
Exactly, right? The fourth repository is the FBI. And it's just, they dump everything in the FBI database. Everything goes in there. So those are the four repositories. That's where a criminal record lives at. Because different people have access to different of those databases, it doesn't go away. There's nothing you can do. So if you get convicted of a crime, and let's be clear about something. 99% of convictions are a result of a plea bargain, meaning the DA and your lawyer come to an agreement that you are going to take this deal for a set period of time. That piece of paper is the deal, right? Nowhere on that deal does it say about these collateral consequences. So people don't even know that they're signing their life away when they take the deal.
They think they're getting a deal, and they are, but they're also getting the other end of it, which is it'll always be on your record forever anyway.
100%.
100%. There are legal restrictions to that, right? So there are consequences to actually going with the deal.
Right, because you've got this on your record, and now people can see it when you go get a job, rent a home, try to get a car, whatever it is you're trying to do.
Yep, and so when you look at, when people look outside right now in America, and they're like, there's homelessness everywhere. People can't find work. Why do you think that is?
Or on the other end, right? I had a sibling that was in and out the system. I was always like, why can't he just get his life together, right? Why can't they just get their life together? And even as somebody who's married to a person with a felony conviction, there are these restrictions that not only does he face, but we face as a whole family, right? Mm. My kids will never be able to bring daddy to a field trip. He'll never be able to coach Little League. Well, one of the things that I've always wanted to do since I was young was to adopt. I'm the youngest of five, so adoption. I had a friend who was adopted, and that was one of the things that I mentioned to him. And when he said it to me, I was like, wait, what? It kind of at some point was like, although we were already married, I was like, you should have told me this in advance, because my dream has been to adopt. So we can never adopt, right? And so you go on your life, you know, trying to do the right thing, and then you fall in love with somebody, and you're having to also face these consequences of, and so it's not just the person, it's also the family unit. You see mothers, you see fathers that aren't able to provide, and people are like, well, they're out, why don't they just get their life together? And there's all this judgment on individuals outside of these consequences as well.
And it doesn't matter what the felony was for, mm-hmm. same rules.
Or how long.
Or so it's not like a child predator does not have this, it has to deal with some of the same ramifications as someone who, grand larceny, there was, you know, some sort of robbery or something.
Yeah.
Either way, you can't adopt children.
Yeah, so if you have any felony, so there's 40 million people with a felony. 40 million. And felony means different stuff.
Right, felony can mean so many things.
Yeah. And then even some misdemeanors.
In different states, yeah.
And even and some misdemeanors.
So what we're talking about, the impact of those consequences are devastating. So, think about like middle America, all the cities, right? Not the big cities, New York, LA, SF, but like smaller cities, Austin or Fresno, Bakersfield or Newark, right? The growth industries are healthcare, education, and government. Those are the three growth sectors in these cities around the country. If you have a felony, you can't work in those sectors. So we're not just talking about one or two jobs. We're talking about entire industries
that you can, well, can work careers on. For people that where they can have a retirement plan and potentially buy a home. And you know what I mean? Because a lot of times you're talking about jobs for people. And a job is cool. A career is much better where you can actually, you know, chart your path in some way financially.
Yeah, and if
and
I do my
family.
Job, I'll be able to keep this. And or eventually
and I'll get
retire.
Raises and I'll have a pension and I'll have, you know what I mean? So you don't have access to that.
And so the final straw of what, like why we decided to launch this Time Done movement 5 years ago with your help is the retirement stuff, you know? So 40 years ago, they started with this whole building of, I don't call it a criminal justice system. We don't have a criminal justice system or a public safety system. We have a crime response system. Let's get like we have a very robust government bureaucracy that responds to crime, and they do it very well, responding to crime.
Reactionary.
All of it. And we spent,
and our healthcare system is reactionary.
Yeah, it's reactionary. And we spent $11.5 trillion building this thing. That is more than we spent in Iraq and Syria. And it's the largest employer in the world. It employs 2.5 million people. The only employer that's larger in it than this bureaucracy is the Department of Defense. So we're talking about a very big system, and it uses $300 billion every single year. It's a small nation state, right? And it started to lock people up in the 70s. And those folks, that first generation of like people who got felonies in the 70s, they're now trying to retire. And what we found was they can't retire. They have no retirement. So they're like, what am I going to do? We get dozens and dozens of calls every single day saying, hey, I'm 60 years old. Do you have a job for me? And I'm like, what? And so they're like, yeah, I can get Social Security, but not the work type of Social Security. I can get SSI, which is only pays out a quarter of what the work Social Security will pay out. So instead of getting $1,500 a month, they're getting like $400 a month. Well, if you're 60 years old, you're forced to drive Uber or work some gig economy, and now the gig economy is locking people out. And so we're like, you know what? We got to do something. And so that's why we launched
the gig economy is going away with automation and delivery, you know, that kind of those small jobs, right, where they've automated it. Or, you know, to some degree, it's an app now, right? Like it doesn't.
Don't get us started on AI. you know, like, I mean, how much these companies would rather have a fake person than a real person with a real history who went through some things. So where do we end up landing with all of this?
Having some health problems and don't know what's wrong? Don't text your group chat asking for opinions on what's wrong with you. Your friends aren't doctors. You need a doctor you can trust. On ZocDoc, you'll find quality doctors who focus on you, listen to you, and prioritize your care. No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Plus, they treat almost every condition under the sun. When you're not feeling your best and you're just trying to hold it together, finding great care shouldn't take up all your energy. Go to ZocDoc.com/Ebro and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/Ebro. ZocDoc.com/Ebro.
There's no quick fix for anxiety and depression. It's not finding a new therapist or starting an exercise routine. Not more and regular meditation or a better diet. Sometimes you need something to unlock your brain, a new way of thinking about seeing the world. Maybe that thing is guided ketamine therapy from MindBloom. But there's a new tool to improve your mental health. MindBloom is the leader at-home ketamine therapy, having safely helped thousands of people overcome their anxiety and depression. Unlike traditional talk therapy, ketamine works quickly and doesn't have the unpleasant side effects of traditional antidepressants. In a study of over 1,200 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in their anxiety and depression after only two sessions. Right now, MindBloom is offering our listeners $100 off your first six-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/Ebro and use the promo code Ebro. Take the first step and break free from your anxiety and depression with MindBloom. mindbloom.com/Ebro and use the promo code Ebro.
reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena. Hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, step swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stahl. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam. 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire.
Fire. So when I learned how to write the bill, and we studied this, man. I told Carmen, I'm going to get free. And she was like, all right, you go ahead. But everyone told me we couldn't do it. Like, literally, everyone told me we couldn't do it. It's, the day I got out was 11 years ago. The CO was like, yo, you'll be back. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to be back. I got out. My parole officer said, you're going to be a fuck up. I didn't fuck up. Right? I was homeless. I've been jobless. I've been hungry. I got down like 140 pounds on the streets, sleeping in my car. Like I knew that the only way that I was going to change my condition to get free was do it myself. So I linked up with an amazing organization. I don't know why they trusted me, but they said, hey, go ahead and run this campaign. I said, well, how are we going to start? And we were sitting there with some of our folks, and I'm like, let's do a concert in L.A. at the Greek Theater. And the only way you can get in is if you are formerly incarcerated. So I was like, Carmen, who do you got? She was like, let me call Ebro. She called Ebro. Ebro's like, yo, I'm in. You know, I'm like, Ebro, yo, I'm in. Let's do it. And we got Nipsey Hussle. First, it was supposed to be T.I. Shout out to T.I. He backed out. And last minute, we called Nipsey. Nipsey was like, I'm in. Ty Dolla $ign was in. My son, always the brother, he was in. We got this group together. Sold out the Greek. It was amazing. And I told people in front of the stage before Nipsey came out, I said, hey, it is my promise to you. It's going to take us a while, but we are going to get free in California. People are like, yeah, yeah. Everybody was like excited and shit. I'm like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it. But because we stayed persistent. So that next year, we were going around the state of California talking to lawyers. And, you know, I had like this chicken scratch, and I was explaining this bill, and I'm like, listen, I got this idea for a law. It's called Sunsets. Everyone told me we were crazy. Everyone told me we couldn't do it. Like, literally everybody, all the attorneys were like, it can't be done. The systems are all fucked up in California. The courts don't talk to each other. In 58 different courthouses, how are you going to get the system to do it? I'm like, give me 5 years. It took us 2 years to pass the first bill, so we had to do a data bill. We had to fix the data systems. I don't know anything about data, but we learned the data systems. We worked with the Department of Justice in California. We fixed their shit. Then we run an automation bill, which is super technical. We passed that bill. People were like, oh, we did it. I'm like, nah, we got to go further. And then this year, well, we had to fund it. So we had to go and learn about the budget in California. We passed that one. This was like 2 years ago. And then we're like, okay, well, what about everybody who's been to prison? What about me? Because none of that stuff affected me. So we had effectively in 2020, effectively freed everybody that didn't go to prison. So if you are in California right now and you have a criminal record and you did not go to prison, starting last year, California will automatically expunge your record if you've been crime-free for 2 years. Automatically. That's about amazing. 6 million people, right?
That's amazing.
And so those are people who have been charged.
You got a charge, but you didn't actually do prison time.
You didn't do prison time.
You didn't do prison time. So everyone was like, great, that's California did it. And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, well, I'm still not free. I got to go back and do it, right?
Because you did prison time.
I did prison time. So this is the hardest stuff to do because people are like, oh, well, you did a robbery. You had a gun charge. I'm like, yeah, I broke the law 20 years ago. And everybody that we roll with are all like ex-cons. These folks did 20 years, 25 years, 10 years. They looking at me like, Jay, we worked 3 years on this campaign, but we ain't free. Think about it, though. Think about if
you... But you helped 6 million people, though.
You helped 6 million people. But imagine if you on the plantation still and everybody else gone. And you like...
So what happened next?
So we wrote another bill.
Now did that get passed?
So we went to we wrote it. It was a very aggressive bill. So just to give you a flavor for how transformative this is, I was talking to people in the UK. They called me and was like, how did y'all do this? The UK don't even got this. Germany doesn't have it. Canada doesn't have it. Nobody has it.
Switzerland have it?
No, nobody has this. So they're like, what are you actually going to write a law that says people who've been to prison with felonies can expunge their record? And I'm like, hell yeah. So we wrote the law. We brought 500 families up to the state of California capital, and the governor signed it. And he signed it in August of last year. We were on our way back to Bali, and I got the call. And he's like, hey, man, this is from the governor's office. They're calling me. I'm like, hey, he's going to sign it. You know, and I'm like, I want the pen. I want the actual pen that he uses to sign it. He's like, I'll do you one better. He'll sign it in front of you. So I got... I got a chance to, like, be there when my freedom was signed, yo. That's...
Where are you going next week, though?
So it didn't stop there. So we got it signed, and I said, well, because the way the law is written, you have to petition the courts, but we wrote a provision in there. So if you're in the state of California and you have a record and you did go to prison, everybody was sex offenders. We didn't, you know, we got, like, we didn't touch sex offenders because of the tier system. Everybody else, everybody, if you have a felony and you went to prison and you've been crime, you finished parole, you've been crime free for 2 years,
you can
go to the court and petition. But the kicker is this: you have a presumption of rehabilitation. This is important. And I just learned this. I was not a legal beagle. You have a presumption of rehabilitation, meaning that you are presumed rehabilitated and the court shall grant you your expungement if you've been crime free. Right, so you may have to write a character letter and some other stuff, but like you can go.
At least you got an option.
Literally, right now, you can go. You can go right now.
It says beginning January 1st, 2023, everyone except sex offenders now have access to expungement. 6 to 8 million people in California who have convictions but did not go to prison, which you talked about, will have their convictions automatically expunged after they complete probation and are crime free for 2 years. 2 to 3 million people in California who have convictions that did lead to prison time can petition courts after they finish parole and are crime free for 2 years. So that's a huge deal, man. Bravo, man.
It's huge. It's huge. So I said, hey, I'm not done yet. I said, I want to be the first person to petition. So I was the first person to petition the courts in January. We traveled back to California. I brought 6 people with me. 2 dudes I was locked up with. They're like, I called them on Facebook. I'm like, hey, man, we ain't talked in a while. I know it's weird calling you on Facebook, but meet me at the courthouse. They're like, what? I'm like, listen, trust me, we gonna get free. And they met me, and we filed our petitions. We were the first person in California. Now next Friday, we'll be the first to stand in front of the court and tell the judge to give us our expungement.
So congratulations, I'll be the, man.
And we're representing ourselves. Like, we ain't got attorneys. We're pro per. We wanna do this ourselves. And so, you know, Friday will be the day that I actually, you know, get my freedom finally after 5 years.
Congratulations. And so and the next step is taking this to the 50 states and trying to petition that, right?
So shout out to the Clean Slate Initiative and Sheena Mead, Desmond. So they have an amazing organization called Clean Slate we're working with. And they are like carrying the burden of it. I mean, our model policy in California is the most progressive, is the most widespread. We want to work with them to take that to all 50 states. We think that there's a pathway to do it.
That is. And you work currently still with the Reform Alliance, right?
I am not.
You're not with Reform right now.
But
Reform
is
actively involved in these sort of things as well.
They are. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah, they work on probation and parole reform. So... yeah.
And that's been, and that's where Meek Mill, Michael Rubin, mm-hmm. Who else involved in that? Hove. or Rock Nation.
It's everybody.
Yeah, everybody's yeah, it's
everybody.
A part of it.
Everybody's a
and,
part of it.
And so Jay's former boss is now leading. So he came from Alliance for Safety and Justice and is now leading reform.
Yeah, so that was the tricky part. So after all of this, you know, I was like just, I came into the organization as like a regular organizer. Like I wasn't, I was organizing churches in South Los Angeles. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I got hired here seven, 8 years ago, you know, as like some network manager. And when Rob went to go work and we're in reform, they made me CEO. So now I'm like the CEO of this big, huge organization.
Alliance for Safety and Justice.
Started from the bottom, now we hit.
There you go. Well, listen, man, Jay Jordan, man, congrats, brother.
That's very
thanks,
cool, man.
It's very cool. Yeah,
thanks.
Carmen, before we wrap, I know we had you on. I know it's still very, very raw and fresh. Mr. Belafonte, Mr. B, Harry Belafonte's passing, but any words for the audience or, you know, anything you want to share with us as you go through kind of this process with him, his family, everybody that he's helped and mentored over the years?
Yeah, no, I think Mr. Belafonte always talked about there's a lane for everyone. Whatever gift you have, bring that to the movement. And even more so now that he's gone, you know, the Gathering for Justice is open. And as a political hope, we could have folks come in and be the political home for individuals. But, you know, we're going to continue to do the work, continue to keep his legacy alive. And even more so because there's still so much injustice, right? When I think about my conversations with Mr. Belafonte and, you know, what he was going through in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, even what he witnessed in the 80s, 90s with, you know, feminine and apartheid, we're still going through that. And he always talked about being an activist before he was an artist. And so I welcome people to join us and to continue to support us and to know that the work and the legacy is going to continue. But, you know, I still have a very heavy heart. It's to serve somebody for 20 years and to be by their side and is just is, you know, I'm trying to wake up, continuing to lead because I know our younger generation needs that. And I could only fulfill a little bit part of his shoes. You know, my heart and my prayers still go out to Pam and his family. But I know a lot of people loved him. We did a celebration of life at the Lincoln Center. And there are so many people. I mean, you know, we put this on social media, but there are like 80, 90-year-olds there, you know? And I was like, how'd they get the word? Mm-hmm. And they were singing along to Deo. And, you know, he was the producer of We Are the World. And he just brought people together. And I think I just got to keep my eyes on the prize and remember what he did for me. I got the last 20 years of his life. And I need to hold on to that and just move forward. But, you know, there's a little cloud over me and a huge, you know, ball in my throat. But
she got an ancestor now.
Yeah, I do.
We all do.
And I'm trying to keep with that, but it's hard right now. You know, I've lost a lot of people. You know, and I know better than to think I'm gonna have him live forever. But Mr. B kind of seemed like that person. He did. He did. I mean, he lived through the assassination of all his friends, his peers, Dr. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, you know, all these people that he rolled with were assassinated. And he was blacklisted and still continued to do the work and
for another 50 years.
Yeah, exactly. And so he did make me believe that he was going to live forever, and I'm just grateful that he chose me and that I got to choose him, and we rolled. And I have, you know, I had shared with you, I think, a story that he made. He would make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the office, and the other day when I was scrolling through my phone, I found the photo, you know, and so I'm just going to keep looking at my photos and continue to listen to him. He was a wise man. He was actually really ahead of his time. If you really think about the contributions he made to the world, they were so selfless. And he really cared about humanity, particularly Black people, women, and children. And so I'm just going to continue to do the work. But, you know, I think it's been a week. I don't even remember. The days are just all now kind of coming together. And
give yourself some grace. You know what I'm saying? Give yourself some time. Be patient. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
For sure.
I really appreciate all y'all support. And letting
me
tell
the story. We're so proud of y'all, man. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome
brother,
stuff.
Congrats, man. Thank you, man. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for coming on and involving me and thinking of me and involving us all the time, too.
Always. Y'all are like our Hot 97, Ebro in the Morning. Like, y'all are the people who support so many of us, and a lot of people don't know what y'all do for us. And thank you for giving us a platform to share the work that we're doing, because it could get lost. And really what you're doing is a lot of what Mr. B was to the movement. You're amplifying the work that we're doing on the ground. So thank y'all.
Y'all kids thank listen you, every morning. That's all right to school. They're like,
that's
97. Like,
that's love.
We gotta lower. We gotta lower it sometimes.
Nah, I guess it's
Ebro's fault. You know it's Ebro's fault.
It is. Oh my God.
Yo, we love y'all.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Bravo.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jeff Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C,
Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Red Man, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set, hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam, 30% off right now, this offer